U.S. stock markets plummeted last week after the Chinese government weakened its currency. The United States responded by labeling China a currency manipulator ahead of a September 1st deadline when a new, more punitive round of tariffs is expected to be placed on an additional $300 billion of Chinese goods. The latest back-and-forth signals that the year-old trade war may be entering a dangerous new chapter, one that could further threaten global economic stability. Here with the story is Alex Lawson, Law360's editor-at-large on international trade and the co-host of the Pro Se podcast. Alex, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me again, Tanzina.
So what does it mean that China allowed its currency to drop? I mean, what are they hoping to accomplish with that move?
Yes. So the great irony here is that the United States labeled China a currency manipulator long after a period of time where most economists say they were actually keeping their currency artificially low. In fact, they have been doing quite the opposite. They have been propping up their currency to sort of keep it level with the dollar and the other sort of reserve currencies of the West. Faced with the sort of downward pressure from these tariffs from the Trump administration, they finally actually decidedly not manipulated their currency and just allowed it to fall, looking to sort of take some of the teeth out of the Trump administration tariffs. It lowers the price of your exports, which means you can better absorb the tariff hit, if that makes sense. So there was a period of about a decade where lawmakers from both sides of the aisle called on presidents, again, from both parties, to label China a currency manipulator. They thought China was sort of taking advantage of the slow American recovery from the recession. But that time has passed, and the administration has chosen sort of an odd moment to take this step. And it's sort of like it exists on the periphery of this overall sort of trade conflict.
So let's bring it back to always average everyday folks on the ground here in the United States. What type of impact is this going to have if I go shopping?
The impact sort of on everyday consumers is still yet to sort of really take shape. And that is because the administration has been very strategic in the way that they roll the tariffs out. This sort of next wave of tariffs that you hinted at that's supposed to take place on September 1 is sort of the last vestige of consumer products that have not yet been hit by tariffs. So that is sort of when you're going to start to see some squeezing. Beijing letting its currency, you know, float downward is actually a good thing for consumer prices. It's not something that economists, you know, would advise, you know, in the longer term. But I mean, the entire point of it is meant to sort of make you, the everyday person, not feel the effect of the tariffs. And this has Trump in a little bit of a bind because he both wants to sort of lock China out of the market, but he can only do that if consumers feel the price effects of tariffs, while he's saying you're not actually going to feel the price effects. You can see the sort of conflict in terms there.
So what about China? I mean, are Chinese consumers going to feel any of this? We got a little bit under a minute to go in the segment.
Yeah, the Chinese economy has been in sort of a little bit of a slowdown for reasons not always related to trade, but they've been able to weather this tariff storm with the U.S. because while they are throwing up tariffs against the U.S., raising those prices, they've actually been in the process of lowering tariffs against other partners like Japan, Canada, countries in Europe. So they've been able to weather the storm a little bit here. I suspect that will carry on for as long as we remain in this.
Alex, who has the upper hand here? Trump, the United States, China? What's happening?
It's a little difficult to say. I mean, as I was saying before we headed to break, China has definitely weathered the tariff storm in a way that is frustrating the administration right now. They have they are experiencing some tension and some slowdown, but it's not at the point that the administration was probably hoping at this stage. And that's why it's important to look at this sort of new currency move as, you know, to the extent, you know, we've had about a year and a half of like escalating tariffs, and both sides are becoming a little bit frustrated that neither is backing down. But these moves that you're seeing now, sort of venturing into the macroeconomic policy space beyond just, you know, exchanging tariffs, suggests that neither will be backing down anytime soon. We're sort of moving into a more sort of permanent state.
We know the world is watching as we head into our 2020 election cycle. And I wonder, is China waiting it out to see who becomes president in 2020 and whether or not that'll impact how they decide to iron out a deal?
That's certainly what the Trump administration has said. The sort of calculus here is that, you know, there's been these waves of tariffs with sort of intermittent attempts to negotiate, right? And to hear the Trump administration say it, they don't think that China is negotiating in good faith anymore. They are content to wait out a sort of more amenable democratic president to see what happens. If that is indeed the case, it's sort of tough to always triangulate China's exact position on issues like this. If that is indeed the case, I mean, you can prepare for another year and change of likely escalating tariffs, more just sort of bombast from both sides, to be fair, and sort of a digging in of, you know, these tariffs being less of an aberration and sort of a more permanent reality of the economy.
Now, do we know whether or not, if that happens, whether or not that would affect American voters and whether or not that might have any impact on support for the president in 2020?
The biggest thing, actually, in terms of affecting voter attitudes toward trade is less to do with our tariff, less to do with our tariffs and how they affect American prices, but the retaliatory tariffs from China, because that's the other thing that's that can get lost in the shuffle here. We've been met at sort of every stage with, you know, tariffs over there that make it harder for us to export. And where you feel where this has the most sort of potential, in my opinion, to bite Trump is if it continues to frustrate the farmers. And that's what you always hear about. He, at sort of every stop he makes now, is always talking about how he is making the farmers whole. And that's true in a sense. They have rolled out many sort of, for lack of a better term, bailout packages for American farmers. But what you've heard from farmers is that, like, this is a little bit of a bureaucratic nightmare. Like, yeah, we're not always getting all the things we think we deserve. In an ideal world, we'd much rather just be allowed to sell our products where we were selling them before, let the market work its, work its will. And that is sort of what you need to keep your eye on in terms of the real political blowback. Anywhere that is in flyover country, in the heart of Trump's base, if it takes root there, could be a problem for him when it comes election time.
How bad could things get? I mean, if both of these parties, as you said, just dig in their heels for another, year or so. I mean, how bad could it get, really?
Yeah, I mean, I never like to be too alarmist. It's important to keep a good perspective. The American economy is very strong, very healthy, and that's been the ace up Trump's sleeve for a lot of this. We're able to weather price increases, as I was saying. But I mean, any economist would tell you that sort of this escalation of trade barriers is going to at some point raise prices and sort of bring you to the verge of some serious economic discomfort. And that's really, they seem to be staring down the barrel of that at the moment.
Alex Lawson is Law360's editor-at-large on international trade, and he's the co-host of the Pro Se podcast. Alex, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Tanzina.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.